plate a potential nugget.
And I want to pick up on the book that's shaped me in a lot of ways, Linda, 100 Year Life. And you speak about our lives moving from three stages to multiple stages. I want to start there by saying, if for the purpose of listeners, if you had to sort of capture the key insight, and then we'll pick it up from there.
Well, thank you for saying that the book was influential to you. I mean, interestingly, it came out, about 3 years ago, and it's been translated in many different languages. And so Andrew Scott, my co-author, and I have had an opportunity to really look at what is it that people really pick up from the book. And interestingly, like you, many people pick up the idea that our life is going from three stages to multi-stage. And by three stage, I mean, you know, full-time education, full-time work, full-time retirement, to something which is much more personal in terms of, you know, what do you want to do, but also multi-stage. So we expect education, for example, to go right the way through people's lives. We expect people to work now much longer than perhaps they thought they would. And also the idea of retirement. We're almost suggesting that you redistribute some of that retirement age right back into other parts of your life. So you take sabbaticals, or you take time out, or you do paternity leave, or whatever it is you want to do. So really, that was the catchphrase, I think, for our book, The 100-Year Life, which is how do you build and maintain and navigate a three-stage life?
And we'll get into some of the specifics of the insight from the book, Linda. But at a macro level, if you had to look at where are the blind spots when you see people going about their lives and when you see your research and what you've come up with of the various things that you've discovered, what are the two, three things that you think are people most oblivious to, if I may ask it that way?
Yeah, well, interestingly, obviously, the book's had a big impact on the way I think about my world and so on. And I think the two areas that I really think we need to focus on, one is lifelong learning. I think too many of us think that once you've done college, that's it. You know, you can read the odd book, but that's just not going to be enough. All of us will have to upskill, i.e. learn your job, parts of your job that are more valuable and more difficult, or reskill, i.e. learn to do something completely different. And we need to do that right the way through our life. And luckily, technology is there to help us to do that. And I think the second area that's come out is health. You know, because we wrote The 100-Year Life, we've spent more and more time with medical people who are looking at aging and longevity, and they all say the same thing. Take exercise, sleep 8 hours a night, and that's what I now do.
The phrase Linda and Andrew use in the context of the book 100 Year Life is, earlier if you knew somebody's age, you knew their stage. But that's not the case anymore. You could have a 30-year entrepreneur taking a sabbatical after a good run, or a 50-year-old corporate veteran pursuing a PhD in a different area to stay relevant. If I narrate a personal anecdote, when I was training for a half marathon, my running coach would tell me that the only metric you need to watch out for is the pace of your run. Ensure that it's consistent with what your body can take and you'll be fine. And if you overdo it early in the run, you'll be huffing and puffing very quickly. While we might be in a turbocharge mode when it comes to P&L metrics, it's worth pausing and taking stock of the balance sheet metrics as we are going through our journey. One of the upcoming guests of the podcast is Matthew Walker, author of the book Why We Sleep. In the chat with him, I explore the criticality of a good night's sleep for us to be effective at what we do and for us to preserve our health. Thank you for listening. If you're deriving value from the podcast, please consider paying it forward to Antarang Foundation, an organization I work with closely. Akash and Arman, the editors of the podcast, are alumni of Antarang Foundation. They do everything from cleaning up the audio, editing it, sequencing it, overlaying it with music, doing the visual elements, and much, much more. Antarang Foundation is a not-for-profit that works with thousands of young adults and helps them play to their unique potential. I believe while the world of human potential is uniformly distributed, the world of opportunity is unfortunately not. We may not realize it, or we may not want to acknowledge it, but the reality is that a lot of us are beneficiaries of the ovarian lottery that sets us up very differently. To know more about how you can make a difference, please visit the paid forward section at playtopotential.com.